You're in the zone, coming to you live from the Fury Electric Studio with Justin Akre on the Buzz Radio Network. Can you smell what the zone is cooking? It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.
The turnovers are, again, a big part of it. Coming away 2 chances in the red zone with 0 points. You're never going to beat a quality opponent or a ranked opponent with that.
Nope. That's an issue. Welcome back in the zone, live from Little Rock Touchdown Club. Justin Akre will also be joined in just mere moments by Matt Harris, who will be getting as defensive as he's ever gotten before. And a couple of notes from over the weekend. Arkansas, much better in a couple of areas. They scored in the fourth quarter, which was totally awesome. 7 whole points in 35-17 loss. Arkansas ran the football very effectively. Did not outgain Auburn, but nearly did. 222 on the ground to 233 for Auburn. Auburn did not throw it much, but was pretty effective when it did. How about 133 yards passing on 8 completions? Arkansas had to throw it 27 times to get 124 yards, 12 completions. So not nearly as good as Auburn was. That's 16 yards per completion, almost 17 yards per completion if you want to round up for Auburn. Trey Mason, the star of the game, 32 carries, 168 yards, 4 touchdowns. Arkansas did almost have 2 backs over 100, though. Williams goes for 104, and Alex Collins, 18 carries, 92 yards. Some things to build on. Now, let's talk about the defense as we get defensive with Matt Harris.
Getting defensive with Matt Harris is brought to you by Exceptional Physical Therapy, specializing in sports injury rehabilitation, back pain, and balance retraining. Exceptional PT is breast cancer certified and is one of the only 2 lymphedema clinics in the state. Exceptional Physical Therapy for an exceptional you. 1102 South Street in Benton or on the web at exceptionalpt.com.
38 seconds. Auburn still has not snapped the ball. Now Burns gets the snap. Cody's going to try to throw deep down the middle of the field. It is intercepted at the 27-yard line. Intercepted by Matt Harris, and the Hogs are going to win this football game.
All right, Matt Harris. Thanks again to our friends at Exceptional Physical Therapy. Arkansas got a little therapy this weekend. It wasn't a win, but an encouraging loss.
Loss. We were talking about it before I came on. This is the way, this is, you know, you got to hang your hat on some kind of positive. This is the way that I wanted to see us lose, you know, competitively. Be in the fourth quarter, have some things go your way. You know, it's a funny shaped ball. It's going to bounce different ways. And one of these days, maybe next season, it'll bounce our way. You know, we let up a big play on Telvin Mitchell. It was good to see the defense come out in 3 and out, and then the offense respond and help the defense out and score after that big play. I mean, that's what I wanted to see. I didn't expect us to go in there and win against Auburn. I honestly didn't. But it was nice for Gus to get his first win in Razorback Stadium with all
that.
The times he
I
came here.
I
know, but in all seriousness, I was glad to see. I mean, it was frustrating. It's frustrating to be on a 6-game lose streak and haven't won an SEC game, but 2 rushers almost over 100 yards against almost a top 10 Auburn defense.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn's a good team, and we had 25 first downs. We had good ball control. I mean,
I don't know if it's a top 10 defense, but it's a top 10
well,
team for sure.
It's a top 10 team.
Well, maybe they're not a top 10 team, but they're almost listed in the rankings as a top 10 team.
Yeah,
so.
And what I can compare it to that South Carolina game.
Oh, they're 9th in the BCS, excuse me.
Yeah, 9th. I mean, yeah, we have 38 snaps against South Carolina, 7 first downs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a Division II opponent going. That's like a warm-up game. When you go 25 first downs against an SEC opponent, it's reassuring. It's not a good thing. I hate to be the team for next season. I hate talking about that, but we're just going to have to take it on the chin a couple more weeks and rebuild this offseason.
The 88-yard touchdown obviously contributing mightily to the 8 of 9 for 133.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a team beaten by a team that only attempted?
No.
9 passes.
No. And I don't want to start knocking any coaching staff, part of the staff, because it's a new year. We're learning a lot this year. But that defense has got to get something going. And I'm a defensive guy. I like the defense. You know, when we turn the ball over three times, that just gives Gus Malzahn and the high-powered offense more opportunities to score on us with the short field. So some of those statistics are hard to swallow, but it's starting to be a reoccurring thing. We can't get off the field on third down. You know, we're not making plays on the ball in the air. We're not turning the ball. We're not forcing turnovers. The defense needs to get a little zap going, and I don't know how else to do it. The coaching staff, I'm sure, is in their heads, is doing all they can. I'd like to be on the sidelines. I'd like to be on the sidelines one of these games and see if what Telvin Mitchell says after he gets beat, or what a leader on that defense, if Trey Flowers or Chris Smith is stepping up and saying, hey, you know, we got to put it in another gear. We're hanging our heads, pick it up. I mean, I'd like to see if someone's down there, you know, juicing it up, because there's a lot of guys, I'm sure, that just hang their head, just go to the sideline and wait for the next series. We're going to lose. I mean,
you get to the point, though, where you probably expect, and there's an expectation that mm-hmm. things are not going to go your way, that something bad is going to happen. And when you know the offense has had so many struggles, it's got to be hard defensively, because there is a very much a weight of the world on your shoulders.
Yeah, it is. To say that you're sitting on the sideline in the middle of the game and not thinking about it would be a blatant lie.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting down there saying, hey, we haven't won in five, over a month.
Hey, you got to be thinking, if we don't darn near shut these dudes out, we ain't winning.
Exactly. And you hate to, like, because I remember Petrino's first year, the offense wasn't counting on the defense to stop anybody, and the defense wasn't counting on the offense because we go three and out in 10 seconds. And it was almost like a two teams in one. You don't want to be that, but it's tough sometimes when you have that mentality. You haven't won in 5 weeks. You're going against a good Auburn team. That's when you need someone, not a coach. You need a player that's actually out there, one of the starting 11, to come in there and smack somebody in the head and get something going, just turn it around.
Obviously, Trey Mason's pretty good. We all know Gus is an excellent offensive coach. What is it about their offense that is so hard to guard? Because, I mean, they were very, very one-dimensional, but they just one-dimensioned really well.
You know, he's really good at running the same play 10 different ways. He'll find one play that he's having success with, and he'll start out. And I mean, when you start thinking about football, you got to think about it from an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator perspective. Personnel: are you bringing in? Is the defense giving you a nickel personnel? Are they taking out one of their linebackers? Is the offense putting in two fullbacks and a tight end, or two tight ends and a fullback like Alabama? So you put in your big boys. I mean, how is the chess game being played? So when Malzahn, what he does really well, he hides his strengths very well. He brings in a passing formation set, and in his mind, he's saying, I'm going to run this counter play, which I've been killing him on all day. And really, the offensive personnel is just to confuse our defensive coordinator, and really, he's thinking about that five-man, six-man box that we're getting. You know, you're taking out a linebacker, and he's saying, you're just giving me what I want. So right. Malzahn's really good at disguising his future success. I mean, he'll put in a guy that you don't really account for. I always, you know, if I saw a guy motion from the left side of the formation to the right side, in my mind, I was trained to think, you know, why did he do that? There's always a reason for someone moving, even an inch. You see those guys motion in 3 yards and they stop. I mean, why is he there? Is he there for blocking? Is he going to run a crossing route? What's going on? And Malzahn puts his guys in very good positions, even if they don't even know it.
Yeah. Well, I talk about it all the time. The one talent you must have to be a great athlete, and I don't care if you run a 4-3 or otherwise, is anticipation.
Yeah.
And when you're playing defense, it's such a key. Trying to figure out exactly what they're going to do before they do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it with the great quarterbacks. They have a good feel for where the defense is going to go. No matter what they disguise, they're going to have a good feel for what's going to happen. It makes it easier for them to have success.
Yeah.
Arkansas's not having a whole lot of luck in that regard, and Gus Malzahn's a master at it right now.
Right. And that's a bad combination. So that's why 35-17 lost, didn't really.
And it could have been a 35-24 game very easily. Yeah. It's no stretch of the imagination.
Right.
Matt, to me, that is as much a microcosm as anything else for this season, is that getting stoned on third down and goal and fourth down and goal. I don't care who you are or who you're playing, and I don't care if it's Alabama, LSU, Florida State, or otherwise.
Yeah.
When you get two cracks on the one, you got to find a way to get the ball in the end zone.
Got to.
And frankly, under Bielema's style, you're going to have to be able to run the ball between the tackles and get the ball in the end zone in the next couple of years, right?
There's no doubt about it. That's what that's his philosophy. And I was trying to explain to someone this week, and I said, you know, it's like taking Petrino's offensive finesse skill players, it's like taking a guy who's really good at a tackle at pass setting and making him, turning it into a pulling guard or a blocking machine.
I don't have Shaquille O'Neal out there shooting threes.
Exactly.
And that's
kind of the personnel that we're thinking of, and it's not to that extent, but it's similar. You got to realize that his guys aren't in play yet. Those Denver Peacocks, those 6'10", what was his name?
Denver Peacock or Denver Kirkland?
Kirkland, and then the left guard there for us.
Yes.
The skipper.
Dan Skipper, yes.
Those guys, you know, are getting hit in the mouth this year, but they're going to come back next year. I bet you anything we're going to get those third and one, third and two behind those two guys.
Well, that's my deal. You got to get, and again, I don't expect them to run for 10 yards doing it, but you got to be able to go walk up to the line and go, look,
yeah,
I'm running at you. You can't stop it.
Let me tell you, Alabama.
And to get a yard, you got to be able to get a yard.
A yard.
And that, I know it sounds.
You're exactly right, though.
I mean, college teams are able to do. In the NFL, look, I don't expect. If it's a fourth and one, you'll see pro teams kick it a lot.
Yeah.
And that's a lot more difficult. But against.
Right.
I don't care if you're playing Alabama or not. You got to be able to get a yard with two cracks at it. Even if they know what you're doing and where you're going, you got to be able to. You know what the snap count is. They don't.
Yeah.
You got to be able to get a little leverage and get it. You get the snap and get the jump on the ball. I just. That's bothersome. But again, it's a microcosm for the situation with them right now. That's who they are.
They're
a team that can't get a third and goal from the one and a fourth and goal from the one. And again, I don't care what play you call, you got to be able to go man on man and go, look, we're coming at you, and you can't stop it.
And then the other way around, if it's third and one for the opponent, fourth and one for the opponent, they're having trouble. They would have trouble stopping them on that.
Oh, yeah.
It's been, and, you know, we've been talking about it all
having
year.
Having trouble keeping them under 5 yards
the,
on this play.
The third down, getting a third down or stopping a third down. But we talked about last week, it's a mentality. You know, you got to have that mentality as a mean offensive lineman for Brett Bielema to say, hey, let me tell you something. We're running right here. I'm going to let you know where we're going. I'm just going to be a bigger man and push you out of the way. Push you 3 feet back and get that touchdown.
Yeah.
That's something that I think he's going to instill in these guys. And he's going to get the – you know what I like to see? I like to see what was his name? The middle linebacker, Brooks Ellis.
Yeah.
He was in there. They're switching it up. I don't think they're playing nice guy anymore, and I don't think they need to because – you know, when I was at Texas Tech, one of the coaches said, you're depending on 18- and 19-year-olds for your salary to feed your family and to pay your bills. And at the end of the day, being the nice guy is not going to win you that game.
Matt turned to him and said, I'm starving right now.
Yeah, those guys right now are – I mean, you've seen guys get fired after a year. And just because we got Brett Bielema, that doesn't mean that the hot seat isn't going to heat up next year if this happens again. And he knows that. So he's going to switch something up. He's going to recruit with her well. He's going to start instilling that philosophy. Next spring, I mean, I hope this is a whole turnaround. I mean, you get hit in the mouth. We went 0-5 my first year with Coach Nutt. The next year we were in the SEC championship game. That's something
that can happen that quickly.
It can happen that quickly.
Well, look at how quickly Missouri turned around with just a couple of guys getting healthy and a couple of additions. They did it well. You're talking about third down, key down. I look at that much more than time of possession. 9 of 16, very good performance for Arkansas.
Yeah.
Far and away, it's got to be the best performance they've had in SEC play. So that's encouraging.
That's very encouraging.
And you're going to play three defenses that are not spectacular the rest of the way.
Right.
I will be surprised if Arkansas can't do some good things on offense, in the run game at least, against the final three opponents. I'm not here to say I think they're going to win three of them. I'd be surprised if they won more than one game. In fact, at this point, I'm not sure they're going to win a game. But the bottom line is they should be able to have some success in the run game. And they are getting to the point where you know they're going to run it because they can't throw it effectively.
Yeah.
And they're getting some, they're having some success.
Yeah,
so
we need those, you know, and Petrino did this to too far of an extent, but the competition makes you great. And to have the fear of loss, that's a great motivator. The fear of your starting job getting pulled or the fear of you getting embarrassed on national TV and going 3-8 in the season, that's going to motivate these guys for next year, for next game even, saying, hey, you know, my spot, I saw my buddies get lost his spot this week. That could be me this week if I don't pick it up. I mean, it's insanity to think that we're going to stay the same team or get better with the same players. It's just not going
to
happen.
Don't you think? I mean, and again, you saw a little bit of it this week, and we'll go to the calls here in just a second. Brian, Gary, Kerry, hang on a second. We'll get to you guys in a sec. You know, so often you give the edge to the upperclassmen if it's close or if it's even, And it's good to, as you were just alluding to, I mean, it's good to mix it up. If a guy maybe just even a little bit less as far as the way he's performing, or a little bit less in his understanding of the defense, it's good to throw a guy in there, and let's just see what he does. A dude may go nuts. You don't know. I mean, but a guy that can play with effort and maybe has a little better anticipation can get away maybe with a little less ability than a guy that's in front of him.
I mean, you never know who gets subbed in. You never know if Tom Brady is on there on the bench just waiting for his opportunity. I was hoping to see Brooks Ellis, you know, have 10 tackles. That's going to do nothing but motivate his backup, who was the starter the week before, to play even harder. And he's going to push that guy who's a one-week starter. It should be all 11 starters. I don't care who you are. Other than Jonathan Williams and Alex Collins, every starter should be nervous. They should be playing their butts off at practice. They should be getting in an extra film. They need to understand that they have to take it upon themselves. The magic's not on this coaching staff. They have to go in and watch film on their own. They have to go in and work out more. They have to go in and get those extra sprints and try and change the game. Because if not, they're going to stay the same. Or they're going to wait till next year's recruiting class comes in and get their jobs taken regardless.
Do you want to give credit to Mitchell had 12 tackles on Saturday. So
you don't think that linebacking core is scared after Brooks Ellis came in and took someone's job this week? You're dang right they are. They're worried that it could be me now.
Braylon Mitchell, Jr. from Heber Springs. So now leads a team with 63 tackles. So there's at least a guy that statistically is showing up, whether or not he's, you know, hitting his, you know, filling his gaps and doing all the things he's supposed to be doing and you know, performing all his assignments properly. I don't know. I don't grade these guys after games, but at least statistically speaking, I can't remember the last time that a guy, you know, had that many tackles as a linebacker.
Jerry Franklin. Jerry Franklin was a nightmare.
Okay, this season.
Oh, this season.
Happen?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Obviously, his run fits were pretty good because he had a whole lot of chances at it.
Yeah.
Let's take a call from Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hey, I was just calling to say, you know, I heard you say that the defense was struggling, but really, we don't have an SEC, don't have a lot of SEC caliber players, but our quarterback is hurting us a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, people were saying that Brandon Mitchell would have probably made a difference, but he wouldn't have helped as much. The only thing that he could have helped would be he would have been a running quarterback. But we need a SEC caliber quarterback. The defense does well, you know, for what we have. They can't stay on the field the whole ball game. You can't keep going three and out, and expect the defense to keep coming through.
Oh, I hear that.
But I believe we do have a good coach. I love the way he interacts with the kids and the confidence that he's given them. So we just hold out with basketball and football. We're going to be back in the mix.
I hear you.
Appreciate the call.
All right.
Thanks, Brian. Let's go to Gary. Hi, Gary.
Hey, guys. Hey, I was in a airport bar, and they didn't have the sound up on the game. And a couple plays that I was going to ask if what the commentator said on that third and goal and fourth and goal. Looked like Swanson got stood up and pushed back. Did the commentator say anything about that? Because, boy, he sure didn't look good on those plays.
I didn't listen to the television broadcast, so I don't know. But, I've heard from more than one person that was pretty obvious that he got handled a little bit there.
Yeah, okay.
All right, guys. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Gary. Thanks. By the way, Brandon Mitchell over the weekend, his team beaten, and he threw couple of bad picks, it sounded like. Sully and I were listening to the broadcast a little bit as we were driving down to Natchitoches. 10 of 22, 130, two interceptions, no touchdowns. He ran 21 times for 105 yards.
Golly.
They've got some issues, admittedly, but I do think he could help this team as a running quarterback threat.
I don't see it. I don't think that he would help much on the field, but off the field, what I've been talking about all the time, that leadership role. Brandon Mitchell is a guy that's been there.
Well, I don't know how you can watch these quarterbacks play in the spring and early fall camp and go, "Yeah, we don't need Brandon Mitchell. We're cool without him." I don't know how you get that. I mean, I certainly would have expected him to go, "Hey, look, you're the starter," and just give him the job. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how you don't leave that competition open, because I don't think anybody has seen anything that makes you think that it was a foregone conclusion and that he couldn't have played his way into that position.
Yeah.
The other thing is he's certainly a much better threat as a running quarterback. Running. And, oh, by the way, he would be the best wide receiver on campus right now if he was in Fayetteville.
He would.
Unfortunately, he wouldn't be able to throw balls to himself.
That is unfortunate, admittedly, Phil. But he's a physical receiver who can make plays.
Yeah.
We've seen it.
He's a tremendous athlete.
Arkansas's offense was horrendous last year, and the guy was making some plays.
Yeah. He could have helped out. I wish he would have stayed.
Plus, he could have given Mike Anderson about 10 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Kerry.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Bob.
I don't think Brandon Mitchell was really happy being a wide receiver was part of the problem. But yeah. Matt, thank you. I'm glad to hear somebody else say that you can see the talent that has been brought in. I mean, look at the guys that are performing and the guys that are standing out almost every game. Those are the guys that, for the most part, Bealum has brought in and that are going to work well in his system. And yeah. I mean, we come in and this year we pick up some decent defensive secondary and we pick up some new wide receivers. We improve our quarterback play a little bit, and I mean that may be Brandon Allen, it may be his little brother Austin. I don't know. Yeah. But you can see the building blocks there for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just needs to be patient, calm down a little bit, and wait for it. I'll tell you, I saw a lot of good things Saturday. I saw a team that didn't give up and lay down in the fourth quarter, and I saw a coaching staff that showed me that they were willing to pull out all the stops and open up the playbook and do whatever they had to do to try and get a win. That tells me that they're hungry.
Yeah.
Tells me that they want to get the win and they want to go out there and compete and get better every game, and they're willing to do whatever they need to do to get there.
Yes, sir.
Kerry, appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Kerry.
Matt, before we take this next call, I do want to get your thoughts on the only time I've seen this team, and everybody always, and again, trying to determine what a kid's mentality is or his emotional state, I think is a little bit dangerous.
Yeah, you can't put a clock on that.
I don't like guys saying, "Oh man, they look flat," or "Oh, they didn't look like they were playing." Well, you don't know. You don't know what's in their heart or head.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens. You got to be very, very careful when you do that. I try to never ever put that on somebody. In fact, I've had other people do it. I'm going,
when I've been part
of a broadcast, I'm like, don't anticipate or don't guess. You don't know.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, the only time I saw them where they look like they were somewhat disinterested was that South Carolina game, and I think everybody, probably the coaches too, were shell-shocked. Certainly the fans were.
Oh, yeah, fans were. It's tough. You know, you can't – I almost didn't go my first year to the Razorback games because I knew everybody so well, and I knew their passion, and I knew, you know, by their body language, how they were handling the games and the situation. That was a great year for them, so they weren't hanging their heads a lot. But it's tough. When they're down there in those trenches and they're getting beat 52-7 in the fourth quarter – you don't know who's going back. That's why I said I wanted to be on the sideline. You don't know who's coming back and saying, "Hey, guys, look, we have to pick it up. Our offense is getting beat. We've lost a lot of big plays. Let's turn it around right now." You never know who's doing that, but it's tough. You know, you can't look at the scoreboard and say, "We need leadership," or "We need to get win on third down." I mean, it's easy to look at a stat book and paper and read the newspaper on Sunday and say, "Oh, we're terrible here, here, and here." But it's a different thing when it's in the middle of the third quarter and you're getting hit in the mouth. What would you do if you were Brett Bielema? What would you do if you were that Telvin Mitchell who just got beat deep on the ball? You know, so it's a shaky situation for him. I just hope that next year we grow and develop. It's going to develop some kind of leadership. It's going to develop some kind of integrity in these guys, because I knew that when we got hit in the mouth that 05 season and then Petrino's first year, we came back experienced, knowledge what it was like to be down in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, like an LSU. I mean, heck, in Petrino's first year, we were down to LSU and came back to win it in the fourth quarter. Who knows? I'd like to see us get a late, a Little Rock win. Beat Mississippi State. Leave us something to be like, hey, you know, they're getting it.
Where have you gone, London Crawford? The most unlikely touchdown in Razorback history?
No doubt.
Casey Dick to London Crawford to win that game? Are you kidding me?
That's what it takes, man.
Let's get Joe in here. Hey, buddy.
Hey, partner.
Joe, it must be basketball season. You feeling good?
I'm ready for basketball season. I got two things I want to talk about. Number one, why our defense is back, kiss everybody in the face and the mouth. They don't turn their head. The ball come right over their shoulder. And I haven't seen a defensive back in all the game we lost turn their head and look for the damn ball. They don't look for the ball. And another thing, we don't need to keep recruiting these 5'8 and 5'9 deep in the back, and the receivers are 6'4 and 6'5. Then the dump shot people ain't no good. Turn their head and look for the ball. When the man's eyes get big, the damn ball on the way. Look for the ball. They run over. We done had 19 pass interference calls this year.
Yep.
Ain't go by looking for the ball, but the offensive man, they need to turn their head more. That's all I got to say. Well, you give me a little insight on how to play football, please?
Hey, yes, sir.
Hey, Joe, let me ask you something. When am I supposed to turn my head?
When the man's eyes, you running behind, when he turns his head, his eyes as big as saucers, the damn ball on the way.
Yes,
you
sir.
Turn your head then.
Thank you,
the
Joe.
The ball, turn your head like Deion Sanders used to do, run with your head on a swivel. Keep looking. Yeah. Keep looking back and forth. You can't
Joe,
take these back when you're turning your head.
I want you and Matt to go up to Fayetteville and give a pep talk.
They're kissing all the boys behind the neck. They're kissing them in the back.
Yeah. Joe, you're the man.
All right, pardon.
See you, buddy. I love Joe and Northern Rock. My favorite. My
defensive
favorite.
Fundamentals.
That is.
Look for the damn ball.
Let me tell you, the quarterback's got a hard job. Offensive line's got a hard job. Everyone's got a hard job on the field. But the hardest thing to do on a football field is to be that cornerback on an island running 4-4 down the field and turning mid-stride, jumping 20 feet in the air with that receiver who's got you by 6 inches and trying to make a play.
And your only hint was that his eyes got
and
a little bit bigger.
And your only hint was his eyes got a little bit bigger. And those good guys, they just do this right here, and they run, and then bam, they just stick their hands up right when that ball's coming. So it's tough.
Yeah, well, this just in, there are plenty of receivers in this league that ain't great.
Yeah.
So turn around.
But look,
and
if
look
I was a DB coach, I'd do nothing but, in my individual time, I'd do nothing but ball drills. I'd do nothing but make those guys hawks. Because you can, the defensive coordinator is going to teach you the defense.
Hawks.
You got to be ball hawks right there in the corner. And that's what awesome. I need. I mean, I saw Tyler Mitchell turn his head late this game in the ball, and he over-pursued it, and the guy caught it and ran. That was that big touchdown. He was in position. Mm-hmm. That's what hurts. That's what Joe was talking about. When they're in position, they turn late, and they miss, and they go. And
which way
play.
Did he go?
Yeah.
He looked like a scarecrow.
So you
got to
– it's tough. That's technique right there.
You know what? I think everybody went to Sport Clips, got an MVP experience, and feel a lot better about themselves. Precision.